My name's Minnie Naylor and I'm interviewing Delhi Ord. And I guess today I will mainly talk about how you're doing in Fairbanks and your wife and what do you do now that you're retired. So, when you first arrived to Fairbanks, what was your first job?
My first and only job.
Oh, your first and only job?
Yeah, I came here as an electronic technician right out of school out of L.A. back in 1964. In February 64. The intention was to work here for 18 months and acquire some experience and move on to other jobs. But
you just kept on progressing with this job?
Yeah, and then it was so interesting, I decided to stay, you know, because I didn't realize how advanced, how important it was. It was a space program, and it was before the manned space part of it. We dealt a lot with different satellites that we tracked. We probably tracked about 30 different satellites in the early 60s on to through the 70s, early 70s. And all of them experimental, a lot of ongoing studies that went on in space that we gathered information for NASA. Some of our tracking and recording, recorded all this information on tape.
Like this timetable, like we're recording?
Very similar, but yet, high-tech stuff.
Okay.
It was a real high-speed recorders.
Mm-hmm.
And they record up to, I forgot the maximum speed was.
How long could they record for, like hours or?
We used to have these great big, there were 1-inch tape, 1-inch wide, and 14-inch reels. And, at the lowest speeds, like ancient 7/8, you may have 6-8 hours of recording on it. But if you sped that up to, the top speed was now, so up into 200, I'll say 200 inches per. Per second. That would be only like 3 or 4 minutes. And
wow.
We use those kind of speed when we're downloading the data off the satellite.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, a lot of that, like the near orbit type recordings, they took about an hour and a half for an orbit to go around. So the satellite would record all during that time. Whatever experiments they wanted to record them. And then when they came over the station, they play that tape backwards at real high speed.
Mm-hmm.
It only took 3 minutes to dump the tape, because we only had 15 minutes to track that satellite. And you had to dump those tapes in that period of time. So 3 minutes was a normal downloading cycle from the satellite. And then we started that these satellites had 10 recorders in them, and so we'll fire up another recorder and get it going before it went over the hill in that 15-minute period, like a 15-minute window period. And we did all this, and we commanded to set up another recorder and then start recording at a predetermined time. Recording in a predetermined time, usually full length of that tape. Not always, but we may use 75, maybe up to 90% of each tape. So we could store data on the spacecraft for however many recorders we got. So we got 10 recorders, or 10 tapes. Normally, what we do is we dump that recorded tape every orbit. sometimes, you know, the satellite would go out of range and,
mm-hmm.
and we could never see it for maybe about 4 or 5 orbits. And that data will sit on that satellite for that period of time. And when it does come back in range, and we'll start dumping those old tapes again, you know, maybe 5 tapes that was out of range. Maybe 2 tapes in orbit for a while until we caught up, and then the normal ones per orbit.
Dumping as in re-recording over them, or
no,
gathering their information?
What we do is we rewind the tapes and send the information down during the rewind cycle.
Oh, okay.
At a very high speed to the what they call a telemetry link.
Okay.
And then it's recorded, re-recorded on the ground here at real high speed, at the same speed it was dumped at,
mm-hmm.
off the satellite, on ground recorders, station recorders. And they take, since it was played back and rewind,
mm-hmm.
and we recorded that around the ground, and we don't have to rewind our tape on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Just go forward now, mm-hmm. and the data was comes off the tape just like the way it was recorded on the satellite.
Nice.
And we send it down to the Goddard Space Flight Center over these big microwave links all the way down to there from here.
So what do you think was your like funnest part of your job, or like the best part?
All of it.
All of it? There's no like one time or during one day you found something really cool, or?
Oh, there was a project that I was on that I really enjoyed, and that was a what they call the Earls system. It was pre-runner to the Orion system, and later on the GPS that we know today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the navigational system.
Mm-hmm.
They developed that 20, 30 years before it was in wide use today.
What year?
You know, I don't remember. It seemed like it was in the 70s when we worked on that project. They put a telemetry package up on the ice floe up on the North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
And they also put another one in the, on an elk in the state of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a big collar on the elk.
Mm-hmm.
And it monitored the vitals of the animal, heartbeat, respiration system, and all that. And they followed that. They can also determine where that elk traveled, you know, a different place. They could track of that and log it all. And, you know, what they do is they would command that the telemetry package that was on the elk, for
mm-hmm.
instance, and it was recording all that information digitally in that package. And you dump that information off the elk package into the satellite
mm-hmm.
recorders. And when it came over our station, and
mm-hmm.
played back down to the ground station, like I described earlier.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
But that's what we did 34 years. You know, things like that we did for 34 years I worked there.
Did they just randomly pick an elk, or was this just,
You know, I don't know how they went about that. I just knew when I got on there that was, you know, mm-hmm. you had to learn the equipment and you had to learn the system and all that. Worked, you had to understand the packages and you had simulators and everything that you had to learn how to operate. And you had to go through all the checkouts before and after each pass. That's what we call a supported pass for this. And the satellite would come over our station.
What did your family think about moving to Fairbanks when you got this job?
It didn't seem to bother them.
No.
Yeah, they were, it was a big adventure. I mean, they were coming up on me as well as others. Completely different kind of environment, you know, when you compare it to Southeast.
Mm-hmm. And you guys were in Southeast before you came up here? Or were you guys in Los Angeles still?
Well, we went from Southeast down to Los Angeles, and when I went to the school, came right up here.
So where is your wife from?
My first wife was from back home in Alcatraz. She died of cancer back in 94.
And your second wife?
She's from Minto.
Minto. How did you meet them? Met Lakatla?
My first, her name was Martha. She, I knew her all her life, because she was younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that family a long time, but I didn't really go with her until after high school.
Mm-hmm.
Went to state.
Well, my parents were, my mom, her best friend was dating my dad, and she's like, how could you like him? He's so ugly. Sure, she married him.
Yeah, I went with a girl in high school for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were going to get married and turn out that way.
Mm-hmm. And your other wife, what's her name?
Esther.
Esther?
Yeah, she's from Minto.
And how did you meet her?
In Fairbanks, here in Fairbanks, back in probably was 6, I guess I went to 96.
Wow. When did you get married to Martha?
In 59. I had all my kids with her.
Mm-hmm.
5 kids, 4 boys and 1 girl.
Four boys and 1 girl? Or mm-hmm. 1 boy? Okay.
Four boys and 1 girl.
Do you have any grandchildren?
Yeah.
Yeah.
6, I think it is.
6, wow. How old is the oldest, do you know?
He was born in 60, so what is that?
45. Wow. And the youngest?
Probably about 35.
So now that you're retired, what is your typical day like? What time do you get up and what time do you go to sleep? Or?
I get up, I average about 5 every morning, because it's a routine I established when I was working 3 to 4 years old. And working, I just haven't broken the habit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other thing is I joined a financial organization. I have to listen to it at 5 o'clock in the morning, so that made me, wasn't that much of an adaptation, you know, to be up at that time to participate in. Because I'm listening to people on the East Coast, and they're 4 hours ahead of us. And it's 4 o'clock our time, 7 o'clock their time. That's the start of their work day, you know, so I have to. I have to follow that. My time is 5 in the morning till noon.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a work day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm studying. Mm-hmm. Studying economics. The economic system. And the world. I've been doing that for about 4 years now.
How did you get into this financial organization?
By accident.
By accident?
I got a letter in the mail. This guy, I guess he was looking for people to join him, and he wanted to get the message out. It was, I was totally naive about it when I entered it back in about 4 years ago. So what is that? 2000. About the time my dad died. 2000. Year 2000. I had this letter with me, and I took it down when I was going down to Metlakatla, and I was helping my brothers out and my son out down there, and I got a welding, portable welding shop down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting one time on a weekend reviewing my paperwork and the letters I hadn't read yet, and getting all of my mail, and I looked at this and started reading, and I said, hey, I'd like to get into this, so that's what happened. So it's just like you going to school. I'm going to school on the internet.
So this is all through the internet. Do you interact with people through that as well?
Yeah. I work with brokers and financial analysts.
Mm-hmm. And where are they based out of? You said East Coast. Where?
Probably on the East Coast. The brokers are here in California. I deal with them. We buy and sell futures, commodities, contracts. It's a form of investing, but at a very high level. In a very risky level. It's not too well known, Even when you hear about investing, you always hear about stocks and bonds and mutual funds or something like that, 401ks and retirement program. This is pretty much like there aren't that many people know that much about what it's called the futures market.
Futures market.
Mm-hmm. And there's a great deal of understanding of life that plays a big part in it. Because you're dealing with human psychology. How humans react to all their fears and things like that. Trust in money, distrust in money, because you're dealing with big quantities of money. You don't know whether you're going to lose or gain in the market unless you understand it. Basically, the fundamentals and technicals of finance.
So you do that during the morning until the afternoon?
Yeah, and then I get up and right now I'm getting ready to sell my house, so I'm doing a lot of remodeling.
So that's what you do after pretty much? Do you just remodel or?
I work on my vehicles, I do all my own maintenance. And we get involved with native politics in a very limited way. We support a lot of those people that are running for office on a local level that are native. People that are native are running for positions.
Excited for AFN?
Pardon?
Excited for AFN?
Yeah, I like going to it. I've attended a lot of them over the years. I still don't understand it all that much.
Yeah.
Because there's I suppose in time I will, but I, you know, I just...
Not great interest right now.
No.
Yeah.
I'm pretty... My primary interest is what I learned and what I'm learning is this financial group that I'm a member of.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about it being here in Fairbanks?
It almost seems to me, you know, all the years I've attended the one in Anchorage,
mm-hmm.
it seemed like they were stretching the limits of the facilities and everything down there. It's, you know, it's a big place
mm-hmm.
down there. And the only thing that I see up here that could perhaps handle that big of an event is Carlson Center.
Mm-hmm.
And we're planning to hold it up here. I don't see that, unless they spread it out all over.
Mm-hmm.
All the names and stuff that are required. Unless they have a lot of other facilities involved. That's the only thing I can see. They can't really centralize it. But it's been held up here before.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time ago. But I guess the powers that be now seem to think that it should be all right.
I think this will. I've only went to one AFN, but that was just to see my nephew Eskimo dance because they put a picture of him up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to go see, or we wanted to go see him, that's the only time. My parents really weren't that interested, so we didn't really go. So, but I guess a lot of people get a lot of shopping done. My friend,
she... that's another thing. They always have reunions.
Mm-hmm.
Especially among our age group now that. And each time we go there, it was less and less and less now. My age,
mm-hmm.
right? And they look.
Mm-hmm.
But then the younger age group, they're really enthusiastic about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to dance. They'll hold dance. That's what they're going to do up here, too.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is on the committee for that.
Okay.
On a high school reunion. It's not going to be just for one school, it's going to be all the people that. One come out of there, it's kind of like the same guy, some kind of Sheldon Jackson, and all those schools on the Lower 48, Chamawa, and
mm-hmm.
they're circling down there. Because of that, you know, that because if just one school held, there wouldn't be that many there.
Yeah.
You know, of our age group. So they're combining it all. And they have more participants that way.
We're having a Rawhide reunion this week, so that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on deck.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. And that's, again, was early on, was the only reason we went to down in Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started getting involved with it. I like to listen to leaders talk, you know,
mm-hmm.
from time to time. Even more so now.
Mm-hmm. Be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So your wife, what does she do? She's retired too? Or?
Yeah, she's retired and her kids are all about my kids' age.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we look at our lives, you know, they're pretty much a parallel.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the number of kids, she had six, I had five.
Mm-hmm.
She has more grandchildren, right? Even great grandchildren now. In fact, we're babysitting now for her granddaughter.
How old is she?
Little girl. The little one's about 6 months.
Oh.
Her name is Jenna.
I miss being around kids.
I enjoy it too.
Yeah. I'm just making them laugh. But I have some family down here, so I think I'm gonna go see them this week. But they're so big, they're getting so big, they're taller than me now, so that doesn't say much, though. So. Yeah. So your wife, does she do during the day?
She does get involved with a lot of native doings that go on, especially with anything to do with the Minta.
Mm-hmm.
She knows everybody there.
Mm-hmm.
It was through her that I learned all her aunts and uncles and all the people down there.
Mm-hmm.
They're all kind of in one way or another related, you know.
Yeah.
Common all around in different ways.
Yeah.
And so they grew up with a lot of them, and we associate a lot of them with a lot of her lifelong friends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We get together, you know, attend potlatches and stuff like that. That most of them, there's very few that we ever miss.
Mm-hmm.
That had to be on this last one that we missed because my wife was babysitting, you
know,
for her granddaughter. Well, she was going to classes.
Mm-hmm. How big is Minto?
I would say there's maybe 300 people, 400 people. I don't really know.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys travel there a lot?
Yeah, we drive down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. About 130 miles maybe by road.
Does she do any arts and crafts or make anything? Or?
She sews a lot. She one of her daughters passed away not too long ago. We just had a memorial potlatch for her about a year ago. And during that time, we set aside one bedroom and made a sewing room out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she made a lot of blankets, a lot of other things. And there's a lot of sewing she did. Took two sewing machines that run a big cutting table and a lot of quilts.
What are you going to do after you sell your house?
Get an apartment.
Apartment?
Yeah. Scaling down. This is a 5-bedroom house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just 2 of us in there. So, there's 5 kids there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that house since 78. And I just see that there's no reason to stay there because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now.
Mm-hmm.
Things are in an inflationary environment right now, in our economic system, everything's going up in price. It's cutting into my retirement plans and, you know, to travel, because that's a lot. I can travel a lot. I got a camper, a big Dodge Dually 4x4,
mm-hmm.
A Bigfoot camper. And it's got everything in there. Stove, refrigerator, TV, stereo, shower, heated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even live in there.
What do you plan on going or traveling next?
We traveled a lot already. And
mm-hmm.
I think we're just about all through traveling. I might end up selling in here. We did a lot of running around, you know, since I initially retired.
Mm-hmm.
I drove down to South Dakota. Visit one of her daughters that married to a Sioux Indian down there in South Dakota, Pine Ridge. And then I went down to Oklahoma to visit my younger sister with the first family. We spent a week, 3 or 4 days there. And we rendezvoused with another one of my wife's younger daughters. She was coming, they were coming from Hawaii, her husband and 2 kids. And we met them on the western border of New Mexico. Spent a couple of days there with them. They were going down to Louisiana. Then we came back up from there to here. That was the first year, and then the next year I took my granddaughters down to California, down to the Disneyland. Knott's Berry Farm, down to the beach. I spent a lot of time when I was in school. So a lot of the places that we went, things that we did.
Were a lot of the sites still there? That
It didn't really change that much. There was a lot of newer stuff too, but then we went to Las Vegas and went to a lot of the bright lights there. Gambling joints, casinos, and a lot of places for kids, like circus.
Yeah.
And a couple other places. We just spent a day there.
Yeah.
Like 40 days. So we were inside the buildings all along.
How hot was it?
140 degrees.
Oh my.
Usually the hottest time of the year is August on it, that's when we were down there.
Wow.
Yeah. Same way in Oklahoma right there. Stayed that way night and day. 100+ all the time.
In Oklahoma?
Yeah. Just see the heat wave coming off the ground.
Yeah.
Then it would never cool down during the night. You know, stayed there. Mm-hmm. It's what amazed me up here, it cools down.
A lot.
Yeah. But down there, just, you know, in that particular time of the year, it stayed hot all night long. Spent most of our time inside, you know, air conditioned models and things like that. And we went down to Las Vegas, we just went. If we had to go outside just across the street and get in the next quarter.
How many grandchildren did you take with you, or your granddaughters?
Two.
Two?
Three. Three, yeah.
How old?
They were teenagers already.
Teenagers.
Yeah. I thought it was a good time taking them down there because I remember a lot of that stuff and that experience.
Cool. Oh, how many days was your dad's memorial potlatch?
4 days, I think.
4 days?
Mm-hmm.
And the first day was just dancing, was it? And then eating, or?
That seemed to be, every day was seemed like pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that want to talk, you know, they had a lot of people. There's a lot of speeches. What else was there?
A lot of eating.
More dancing, and mostly dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that amazing totem pole that one day. That was an all day event. More dancing that evening.
Did you guys attend church, or would the church be involved, or no?
Not so much there, no. Just, you know, that I don't remember if far less including the weekend, but a lot of those people did go to church. That potlatch kind of coincided with a Founders Day event called the 7th of August. It was right around that time. So it was a lot bigger, that big celebration. It was a major event of the year, you know, for the people back home.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of races of all kinds, parades, and
it's like 4th of July almost.
Yeah. Like, it, was just, yeah. It was just as big as that, because 4th of July, we celebrate with Ketchikan. You go to Ketchikan, it's like a 3-day event. You go to Ketchikan, and they start celebrating there on the 2nd of July, and we got to the 3rd and 4th, and we move back home to Kinship on the 3rd and 4th.
Yeah, because back at home we have the races and broad skipping with snow machines and Masonic Circle and pageants.
Yeah, all kinds of flip races.
Did they do NYI?
Potato race.
Big sack race.
Sack race, yeah. One three-legged race.
Mm-hmm.
Bicycle races where you try not to move, just kind of balance on it and try to be the last one to go across the finish line. That is another one race. A lot of foot races in different age groups.
Mm-hmm. There's play tug of war.
Yeah, that was a big event too. And right in that area, they had all these hoops and all different foods.
Mm-hmm.
20 booths, I guess, and a wide variety of sandwiches and a lot of native foods.
Mm-hmm. Fried bread.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the tug-of-war games that I was playing is Native women versus not Native Married men.
They do that too. I know there's no military visitors that were working on the road, and building a road from Little Cat over toward Ketchikan on that end of the island. And they were invited all of them over for the Founders Day.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a tug of war against them.
What day is Founders Day?
7th of August.
So much. Awesome. Thank you for doing that.